Expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, welcome in Sunday, December 7th. Pearl Harbor Day.
God bless
our troops. You're here with Sweeney and LaWaz. John Sweeney, of course, for me. I'm Derek Wozniak. Our special guest is John Panarese.
How's everybody doing?
Fellow Sports Talk host here. They need to gang up because the Islanders are playing twice as good as the Rangers. So we need two Islander fans in the house. We're going to have Corey Hirsch as a special guest, goaltending specialist, NHL, Olympic silver medalist, minor league dominant goalie, junior hockey dominant goalie. He'll be with us in the first hour. Talk a little bit about the NHL and the goaltenders around the league. The second hour from 9 to 10, we have a special in-studio guest, a Christmas gift to all you Islander fans out there. Steve Webb will
Steve
be here
Webb.
With us.
Steve Webb.
But yesterday, an Islander fan took a Ranger fan.
Big mistake.
To a hockey game.
Big mistake, and I apologize.
The first place Islanders. And the first period, as I sat there, looked like a early 1980s Islanders game as they rolled to a 3-0 lead after one. And I said, oh my God, this is just taking me back to my grade school years. And my partner, Sweeney, he said, oh, the game ain't over yet. And I said, oh really? I said, well, you know what? If I was coach, I'd yank this guy out, Allen, right now and put Brodeur in.
You sure did. And that's what they did.
Get back in it.
100%. I was very impressed you said that.
And sure as hell, the St. Louis Blues chipped away, and the Islanders, who were in first place, all of a sudden, and only by a technicality, but they are not in first place anymore. And the lesson learned is, if you're a diehard Islander fan, you do not take a Ranger fan to an Islander game, especially when you're off to the best start in franchise history, when your goaltender breaks the legendary Billy Smith, breaks his record of 10 consecutive wins. And you drag an all-time Ranger fan to the Coliseum, and it looked like it was the 80s, because that place is a complete dump. It was horrible.
Oh, stop already.
Oh, you even said the seats are horrible.
They are. They need new seats there. They have to redo the stadium, which they're going to do.
And so I played this song for my partner, because he called me the Jinx. He thinks I put a curse all of a sudden on his team. And maybe we should be a little superstitious.
I went on social media, and I apologized to all the Islander fans through Twitter and Facebook that this will never, ever happen again. The last time that you, the enemy, will be in my stadium.
I got three names for you.
Never again.
The first one is Mr. Shattenkirk. The second one will be Paul Stastny. But your all-time favorite, sweetie, Tarasenko, put the game away, and in honor of all Islander fans, I stood up and said, woo! I gave it the old goal, woo, for Islander fans. And St. Louis made my day a little more enjoyable.
Let's be honest here. If the Islanders actually could kill penalties, it wouldn't have been a loss.
So also, they're banged up. They're three starting defensemen out. Don't forget that.
Yeah, but like I said, if you give up three goals on the penalty kill, I mean, that's the difference in the game. That would have been 4-3. You know, your special teams have got to be better than that.
But when the Islanders did score the three goals in the first period, my partner over here did slap me five for all three goals. As a sold-out stadium erupted yesterday.
Oh, he was showing class.
I was trying to be a special guest.
That's it.
You needed somebody to give a high five to. I stuck the hand out, and I let you do it.
Three times
in a row in the first period.
Especially when Tavares scored.
How about the folks after that? When Brodeur stepped between the pipes, the score was 6-1. The last 40 minutes of this game.
So
in honor of the Blues and my happiness, because the Rangers ain't giving me much lately, can we play that song just a little louder as we finish up with Stevie Wonder? And a little superstitious.
By the way, Stevie Wonder used to be a customer of mine for several years. I've met him about 8 or 10 times, so he's a great guy in person. I was even in his studio.
He's not an Islander fan, though, is he?
No.
Thank God.
No, no, he's not. I don't even think he knows much about hockey. I don't
let's
even
get
know
down. Since you brought up Marty Brodeur and his 600, I think it was 689 in wins.
Yeah,
he's got more wins than,
crazy like
than a
that.
Lot of teams. Let's bring up Mike Babcock. His 500th win last night.
Talk about the Islanders.
The New York Rangers.
Congratulations to Mike Babcock.
Oh, come on.
For all you sports fans out there,
that for the
John Sweeney
win.
Thought that was John Hancock. His investment broke up.
The good
and
hand
then he ran to read the bottom line. The Rangers lost 3-2.
Well, behind Babcock's thing is the Allstate, the good hands people.
Well, John,
500th win. I'm very happy to see that.
John Panarese, you know, it's Pearl Harbor Day, and John Panarese told you that he's heard that Mike Babcock might be a little anti-American when it comes to...
I did hear that.
That's the rumor right here.
We're talking about
we were running with Chris Chelios, one of the greatest Americans of all time, to lace up the skates.
Yes, it was.
So I don't think you should be there celebrating his 500th win as much as you are on Pearl Harbor Day. How's that?
That's it.
You like that one, Mr. Army guy?
That's right.
Mr. Bridge Builder? Okay, so just to be fair, last night I got together with some high school buddies, a little Christmas get-together, and I had to leave my house before 8 o'clock, but I saw the first period of the Rangers game. They started out 2-0. They got a nice goal, nice early goal from Kevin Klein, his fifth goal from the point. Not Calvin Klein, Kevin Klein, probably the best all-around defenseman to date this season for the New York Rangers. And they got another goal from Rick Nash. He's got 17 now, and I told Panarese on the way here he could score 37, 47, 57 goals this year. It doesn't matter. The only thing that does matter is what he does come playoff time.
Right.
Don't try to distract me with your pictures from some floozy out in Indiana.
Let's go.
Some games don't play in Hick out in Indiana. You want to show me his pictures and stuff? I'm glad that Andrew Luck won a game for him. All right, you want to talk about Elwood, your new love affair, your new friend from afar? That's fine. We'll do that later. Okay? Well, let's focus on what we're doing right now. Mr. Sweeney needs his ADD medication. He's got a little disorder there. He can't pay attention. However, like I said, I told Panarese on the way here, Rick Nash can do whatever he wants, 57, 67 goals this year. It's all about after the failures that he had in the playoffs last year, most notably in the Stanley Cup Finals. It's only about the playoffs for him when it comes to me as a Ranger fan. My biggest concern with the Rangers, since you wanted to bring it up, Mr. Sweeney, is one, Mr. Lundqvist, who I tend not to worry about because he's gotten off to slow starts.
He had a slow start last season, too.
A future Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he is the focal point of this team. However, I expected him to be dominant from the beginning of the season because of I felt he had that taste of a Stanley Cup championship right on the line there last year. He said all the right things. Seemed like he was working hard in training camp. I thought he was coming in with even a more focus towards another Vezina and building towards going further in the playoffs and winning that title. So I was surprised at the start he's been off to. From this standpoint, there's only two or three, maybe four goalies in the league that have played 1,000 or more minutes that have a lower save percentage. That's a concern to me. There are goalies that, despite how their team plays in front of them, are able to stand on their head and steal a lot of wins. Lundqvist has not done that this year. That's my concern with him.
Yeah,
he's got two-thirds of the year left. He's got a lot of time to rectify that.
But I will
he's
say
the
this.
Least of my worries.
But I will say this. Last year he did this exactly the same thing. He turned it around.
Yeah,
and
he turned it around, and it was right after the holidays anyway.
Last year they used that whole contract thing as an excuse.
And he's one of the best goalies
in right
hockey.
Now there's really no excuse. And when you're making $8.5 million a year, he is.
Maybe
he's a Hall of Famer already. I'll be the first one to readily admit that.
Of course.
Okay, I am tough on my goalies, though. Okay, we'll get to that with Corey Harris. We're going to talk about the goaltending situation throughout the NHL. But when I look at this team, from a unit standpoint, defense comes across as soft sometimes. Very uneven play from whether it's Ryan McDonough, the captain. Doesn't matter if it's Dan Girardi. It could be Mark Stahl. Got uneven play from the defense. And more importantly, from what I'm looking at, I look at the youth of this team and their development. And when I look at Chris Kreider with four goals, that's not enough. When I look at Matt Zuccarello with four goals, 25 games in, that's not enough. And Carl Hagelin has five goals, which isn't horrific.
Right.
But
Nash
when,
makes up
no,
for
hold
that.
Hold on. When those other guys only have four, that's not enough.
Yeah, but Nash makes up for that because he's having a phenomenal
start. Forget
about
Rick Nash is doing what he's getting $7.5 million.
Yeah, but this is the best start he's had.
It doesn't matter. They're 11-10. We're talking about this as a team.
Right.
And what I'm looking for in terms of building a winning team going forward, I'm looking at the development of the young core of this team. And they're not getting enough goals. So when they start out yesterday up 2-0, I'm looking to see where the next one or two goals is coming from. And it doesn't come. I leave the house. I go to my friends. Right? He puts the game off for me. They score two goals in a minute. I say, you know, you can shut the game off, put on the college football, whatever. They wanted to watch college football. The Rangers lost 3-2. I didn't need to see anything else. When I got home and I saw they had two 5-on-3 man advantages and they didn't score on a 5-on-3 with a double minor involved for a high stick.
Right.
You don't deserve to win if you can't put it home on a 5-on-3. Yeah. That's almost giving you a goal there.
Again, special teams.
Yeah,
special
so seven teams power plays, and they didn't capitalize not once. And they had a good start. And the one thing concerning about the Rangers, they've blown a lot of leads this year. They've already had 8 games that they blew leads on. And you think they would have learned their lesson in the Stanley Cup. How many leads did they blow against the Kings in the Stanley Cup? So that's a concern for me. And the most concerning thing to me is the young guys and their point production. And the guys I look at more than anyone else, obviously Chris Kreider, Carl Hagelin, and Matt Zuccarello. And 13 goals between the three of them? No way. Not good enough. And you'll play 500 hockey if that's going to continue. And it's going to be tough. You know, you're going to be battling for that, third position to get a playoff spot.
Right.
Because the division's not playing really well outside of Pittsburgh and the Islanders at the top of the division. The Islanders, on the flip side, have been great. Their top 4 scorers on the team, Kyle Okposo, John Tavares, Brock Nelson, and Ryan Strom, they're all first-round picks from within.
Right.
Now, the Islanders have picked at the top of the draft a lot. But all 4 of those guys, first-round picks from within. That's a great sign. They signed Halak. They made the trade for Yaroslav Halak. They were able to sign him, $4.5 million a year. And this guy comes in. And he's able to do more than anyone expected. Breaks Billy Smith's record. I joked around about it. But listen, 11 straight wins
that's
11
impressive.
Straight wins.
Yeah.
Lundqvist hasn't even done that as a Ranger. That is incredible. He's had a great start. And he's right up there with Pekka Rinne and a few other guys early on in the Vezina chase in terms of top goalies in the league. And, you know the pickups of Letty and Boychuk, yeah, they've been good for this team. But Boychuk's been out a few games, and they've still been pretty good. They played some pretty good team defense over the last 2-3 weeks. Yesterday, kind of maybe a reminder of early in the season where they were winning games, high-scoring games, or lost games early on. But overall, 19-8, I got nothing bad to say about the Islanders except for what John talked about in terms of special teams. Yeah, their penalty killing, not very good. And their power play probably isn't as good as in prior years, but still, it's adequate enough.
Right. You'll take it.
And when you're 19-8, you're 19-8.
Right. I mean, other teams have won the cup with a mediocre power play. What concerns me is the PK. PK for this team is going, you know, if they can't straighten that out, that's going to be a problem later on in the season.
I think they'll
straighten it out, but I think they got to find the personnel they can consistently get out there and who play well. And they've played well. I mean, if you remember a couple of games ago, the 5-on-3 in the closing, who was the team when they had to hold on to the 2-1 lead? Ottawa, wasn't it?
Yes.
And you know,
go for 5-on-3.
Yeah, blocking shots in those closing moments. You know, Thomas Hickey out there, you know, who's, I know the fans give him a lot of grief, but that guy has been playing extraordinarily well over the last month or so.
Sure, he has.
I got nothing bad to say about Thomas Hickey.
He stepped it up, yes, he did.
Well, who's the most surprising player for you for the Islanders in terms of a positive? I look at Brock Nelson.
I didn't know a lot about him. Brock Nelson,
great, right?
I knew he was going to develop after last season, but he's so much more than I expected. And Ryan Strom, you know, he's going to – if you think about what he's doing now, and he's got an upside still. He's got a way –
And young.
Yeah, he's still got a big upside, Ryan Strom, and he's just impressive. He's one of the few – You know, the old expression that Wayne Gretzky used to always say, you know, go to where the puck is going to be, not to where it was. You know, Strome really has that philosophy. He sees plays before they develop sometimes. And he just seems to find himself in the right place at the right time.
Right. He's playing much better. Compared to when they brought him up last year, he's doing fantastic.
Yeah, no, he's definitely developing. Yeah, he's got 6 goals, what, 14-15 assists.
Yeah.
You know, and that kid line has just probably been the best overall line the Islanders have had all season.
All right. Yeah, Strom's got 6 goals, 13 assists. He's doing great.
He's doing great.
I think so far.
Yeah. And you know,
and Okposo's even more of a playmaker than I thought he was.
Yeah.
He's not scoring as many goals as I would expect at this point.
Yeah, he's got a lot of shots. Yeah. But
Okposo's
running into one of those stretches that he seems to run into.
Right.
You know, people say, oh, his goals are down. But the number of shots this guy takes on net per game, I mean, a couple of games ago it was 8 or 9.
Right.
And he didn't score. I mean, he's just snake bit at the moment, but at least he's racking up the helpers.
Now, he's setting up goals. The only thing that concerns me a little bit in terms of Kyle is I think he's more of a power forward than he thinks.
Yes.
I'm not saying he's big.
No, he's better.
He's strong along the boards. I don't think he throws the body as much as he should. I think that would help his game.
He's good in the boards.
Perception-wise, that's how I thought he turned his career around in that playoff series against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, where he was just...
Sure did.
Right? I mean, game he had a big fight. Scored a big goal. And he's a pretty strong kid on his skates. Good low center of gravity. And that's the one thing I would say is I don't think he's physical enough.
Right. And I still feel that they need to find a left wing for that line. I know, Kuhlman, I know they've tried Bailey there. I know Nelson's come up there. But they really have to get a consistent, good left winger that complements Tavares and Oposo.
Right. Well, you got Grabner back now. So that's he's got some exceptional speed. I mean, that game... I think it was against Ottawa, right, where he flew past the defender. He was on a break where he lost control of the puck at the end of it. He wound up winning that game anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, that guy, he's got some elusive speed there back in the lineup. That's an easy, it's a luxury to have because now who are you going to sit? You're going to sit a guy like Konica? You're going to sit a guy like Clutterbuck?
Yeah, exactly.
That's a plus. Okay. Right, if Grabner gets back, because he's scored goals on occasion a couple years ago, right?
Yeah, he had 35 his first year with the Islanders. He hasn't really come close to that yet, but he's definitely a 20-plus goal scorer at the very least. You know, and it's a good luxury to have when you have, 14 forwards who could dress in the NHL. The problem that presents, obviously, is who sits. You know, Konecker's been kind of the odd man out, and the only reason why Grabner got into the lineup is because Bailey has the bad foot. You know, and I know fans are always saying, well, Bailey this, Bailey that. But Bailey, even though he's got, three goals, three assists or whatever, but he still played well.
Right.
Well, the thing with Bailey was when they got into the playoffs 2 years ago, Gatineau gave him that big contract. And that kind of, irritated a lot of fans.
I like Josh Bailey. I know a lot of people don't. And I just think, I think he gets, I wish he would do more. And I think a lot of times with Bailey is he's his own worst enemy. He overthinks, I think, at times. He has the shot, and then he looks to pass. And then when he should pass, he shoots. You know, I just think Bailey's problem is Bailey. You know, and I think that comes down to confidence.
The confidence is a lot in hockey. And he is the one guy, when I look at this team as a whole. Now, listen, 19-8, and I told you the top four scorers are all first-round picks, but he is one of those first-round picks that's not up there.
Right.
He's not even close to being up there and scoring on the team. So that's got a weigh on a guy personally,
right.
And it's got a weigh on the perception of him from others in the organization.
Right.
Like from the coach or from the GM or whoever's looking and evaluating talent and how they're progressing game in and game out, because you got to make decisions on who's going to sit. And Bailey didn't play yesterday, right? He's not hurt.
You know, he's got a foot. He took a shot off the foot a couple of games ago.
He's not listed on the injury reports. He was just day to day.
Two games in a row he hasn't played.
All right, so more of the concern.
Well, Grabner came back, and they kind of like, I thought it was a healthy scratch for him, though.
Could be, but I know he had the foot. I know he took a shot off the foot a couple of games ago, and then he was having trouble in practice with the foot. He wasn't comfortable with it, but I don't know if they just sat him out yesterday or not.
So the bigger concern with injuries got to be between Johnny Boychuk, Travis Hamonic, and Vishnovsky, right?
Yeah, Vishnovsky at least has been skating with the club, means he's coming back. But
so
nobody's talking about what Boychuk and Hamonic's status.
Well, I saw the hit that Hamonic took from Chris Neal.
They said it's a shoulder.
If I was reffing the game, I would have called a boarding penalty on it. Because the guy came from outside his vision, and he was releasing the puck. He's in a vulnerable spot. It wasn't called. Do you know what? He took a bad... Not only a bad hit in that spot, not seeing it coming, but the way he hit the boards. I personally think he did something with his shoulder.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
The way I look at like McDonough with his shoulder injury that he had. So I like Hamonic. You know, we saw that nice story on ESPN about him and how he takes care of kids whose dads passed away, that kind of thing.
His father passed away when he was young.
He's one guy. I would not like to see him this time. I like him. I like his story. He seems like a great guy.
He's a good leader.
He gets in the corner. He's a good defenseman. He's tough. He's getting better and better.
Right.
And he's a leader. He's a leader in the locker room. He's a leader on the ice. He plays with his emotions on his sleeve, that's what you want.
And you're losing three key guys to your defense.
Right. And Boychuk, let's face it. I mean, that guy was just golden. You know, he was kind of the odd man out in Boston. And, everybody saw the talent. And even Boston fans, I've spoken to a few Bruin fans that were really not happy about losing him. And he's a guy who's, he's gonna be a leader for this team. And I really hope that Snow is able to sign him long term. I mean, obviously he's going to be
an unrestricted free agent
at the end of the season. And hopefully the Islanders can, lock him down before it gets to that.
Well, now what's the story with his injury? Do we know exactly what his injury is?
No.
Is it a culmination of this?
Upper body is all they're saying. Right. I don't know. Maybe, Gary might know more. I don't know. I've read different blogs.
You watch every game. How did he get hurt? Do we know?
Oh, it's an upper body injury.
Meaning, could it be something with concussions, or is it something with his shoulder?
No, I think it might be a shoulder or an arm, because he's gotten banged up the last couple of weeks, and he's come back in the lineup. He's sat out practices a few times. So it might just be one of those things that's just added up at this point.
Is there anybody else in this lineup, since we're pretty much 1/3 of the way through the NHL schedule? Is there anybody else you want to point out on the Islanders? You guys have been watching, listening to most of the games. Anybody else from a positive or negative?
Well, Casey Cizikas has stepped up.
Okay.
Yeah, he got hurt yesterday. I think he got a concussion, right?
Did he? I don't know.
He got banged around. He left the game early yesterday. He's been playing fantastic.
Yeah, he's finally, it's like a couple of seasons ago in the playoffs, he had such a tremendous playoff as a spirited, just a really good energy guy. And then last season, he did not have the best season, and a lot of people, were kind of harping on that. But we've really seen why he's a valuable fourth, line center for the Islanders. He's scoring goals. He's making big defensive plays. He had that empty netter in the closing moments against Ottawa a couple of games ago.
Right.
So if they lost him, it's going to be a big loss.
I'll give you another guy in terms of positive with the Islanders. Only from a goal, I'm just looking at a goal-scoring angle on this one from the point. But Nick Leddy's got five goals already.
He's quietly
fantastic.
He's only had 6 or 7 as a career high, so that's a big thing for him on the point.
He's quietly doing the job that, he's, again, a guy who was lost in the depth chart on Chicago and the potential. And the thing is, people don't realize this. He's only 23 years old.
Yeah.
Right. They got a lot of young
players. Both of these guys fell into the Islanders' laps because of
circumstances.
Right, and it ended up working out. Gartner did the right thing, and he beefed up that team.
Yep.
Listen, I don't watch every game like you guys do, but I'm noticing what's going on. And I'm only drawing this parallel from a results standpoint in terms of wins and losses. I'm not saying they're the same team at all. There's John Tavares here on one side, right, the Islander side.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, Tavares matches up with any of these three guys. And I'm going to talk about Colorado with Nathan MacKinnon, right, Landeskog. Right, they got a few guys like that.
Right.
I'm not saying they have other big names like that, but like I said, 4 first round picks, your top 4 scorers on the team. The Islanders remind me of what Colorado did last year,
right,
with a young team excelling in the wins column with not a lot of experience on their roster. One thing the Islanders did add experience wise, obviously, Leddy and Boychuk.
Which is the one thing Colorado didn't have last season was a real experienced defense.
Both guys,
Eric Johnson.
And what's funny about that is they brought in Jerome McGinley and Daniel Briere this year in Colorado, but their goalie situation's horrifically banged up right now. And they're in the bottom of their division because their star goalie got hurt right away. They were missing one or both of them at times, and their team has not played well at all. But for the Islanders, it paid off with the veteran presence coming in and the experienced goalie. Now, Halak isn't a prior Vezina winner, but he has taken a team on the playoff run. As great as Carey Price is, he was not the goalie when Montreal went to the semifinals in 2010 and lost to the Flyers.
Right.
Before the Flyers lost to the Blackhawks in the Cup. It was Halak who beat Pittsburgh and Washington in the first 2 rounds.
People forget that. Right.
Right. And that's how he got the money from St. Louis, because Montreal had to move him because Price was their future. Right?
Right.
Went to St. Louis. First year, not too bad, but then when they got Elliott, they started splitting time again. So this guy's always had to overcome odds of some sort.
Yeah.
Now he's getting a chance with the Islanders to be the true number one, not having to look over his shoulder, because there really is no Islander goalie that's going to challenge him for playing time.
No, I mean, Poulin's playing well in the minor leagues, but Poulin's going to have an awful lot to prove to the organization before I think he gets a shake. I mean, I like Kevin Poulin, and I still – think way back, a couple of seasons ago where he had that knee injury, and I don't think he's been the same player yet, and it takes some time to come back from an injury like that. So, hopefully he does get his game back together, and maybe he will be, the backup at some point, but,
Right now it's Johnson. He's okay as a backup. There's nothing wrong with having him.
He's better than he's playing. I know some Islander fans are harping on him, but Chad Johnson, he's a consummate veteran. He's going to get his game.
You know what? He's 5-3. If you could be above 500 as a backup and you only have to play 20 games, 25, you're fine.
Right.
That is fine.
People are going to match him up and say, well, what he did for Boston last season. But remember the defense he had with Boston and the team.
Boston's been one of the dominant teams the last 3, 4, 5 years.
So it wasn't like he had a lot. I'm not taking anything away from Chad at all. Please don't take it that way. But You know, it's different playing with a team like Boston, and, you know, the Islander defense may not be that same comparison at this point.
So as I was saying, you know, you had Tavares here, and like I said, Colorado maybe a little more dominant with their draft picks paying off big time with McKinnon and Matt Duchene, right? And Landeskog's right. their captain, a young captain. But the Islanders do have the similarity of the win total off to a great start, and they got a lot of their young first-round picks from prior seasons shipping in right away. I mean, they're key contributors.
Now the fun, everything's
panned out. And then you
got
to factor in a guy like Franz Nielsen, some other guy. I mean, they are really, they're rolling four lines.
Right.
And that kind of, to me, I overlooked it. Now, you guys are diehard Islanders, so I'll overlook their deficiencies on the special teams because of the fact that, to me, rolling four lines in a positive
edge is more important. That's impressive to me, and I that's the one thing that's, to me, if I had this, what the reasons why this team has been so successful is obviously, you know, Halak. But the fact that Capuano is able to roll four lines out, game in and game out, and all four lines, you know, when you have four lines playing well, when your opponent can't send out a checking line and say, okay, we're gonna put everybody on Tavares, and that'll stop the Islanders from scoring. You can't do that when you have four lines that are scoring goals.
That's the joy of it, right?
Right.
Now.
You know, you can't. Who do you protect? Who do you defend against? You know, if you could be all right, you got to stop Tavares, but then you got, you know, Nielsen's line, then you got the kid line. And the fourth line comes out and bangs a goal in here and there. I mean, they've had some big goals, you know, to tie games late, you know, and things like that to come put the Islanders back into games. So how do you defend against a team, you know, that has four lines rolling?
I'm loving that fourth line, you know, Martin and Butterbuck and
Cizikas. No, listen, I don't have a bad word to say about the Islanders. And early on, the only thing I would say to you, because
how can you? They got 19
wins. And this is only because of the things that were written about the team from prior seasons. They're like, oh, let's see how they do in November. Well, guess what?
November
came. They won 11 games
and
in November.
And they got shelled by Colorado out in Colorado.
Yeah, I remember that.
And they
that
lost
game.
The game in San Jose, right? So they started a road trip 0-2. And then they beat Anaheim 3-2. They beat LA 2-1. They beat Arizona 1-0. Now all of a sudden they're playing great team defense starting November, right? When they were winning games in October but giving up goals, both goalies.
Right.
Then they come home, they shut out Colorado, pay them back 6-0, beat Florida. They lost to Tampa, okay, but then they paid Tampa back, right? So there's a home and home where they split.
Right.
Then they play Pittsburgh in a home and home, take both games, 5-4 and 4-1.
Oh, is that that
I
game?
Mean, as a opposing fan, you're like, when are the Islanders going to come back to reality? Well, maybe not yet. They shut out the Flyers 1-0. They beat Washington once. Then they lost to them once. So they had a bunch of home and homes where they're splitting or sweeping. That's nothing but a positive. They beat the Devils, and then they swept Ottawa. I mean, listen, they're playing great hockey. I got nothing bad to say about them. I guess it's a shame that they're moving.
Yeah, of course.
You but know, before that's... we go to break, I'll say that looking around yesterday, John, I'm not trying to pick on your team, but that place doesn't remind me of anything but the early 80s still. I mean, it really is.
Well, it needs an upgrade.
Things about the Coliseum, I'm going to tell you right now, from an opposing fan that has a bad taste in my mouth, even from the 80s still. But the best thing about that Coliseum are the banners that hang up top, right, whether they're division titles, conference titles, or Stanley Cup titles, the retired numbers, and the only other thing I got good to say about that place is the pretzels are excellent.
Yeah.
And that is it.
Yes, pretzels
but
are excellent.
I want to be honest about that. the fans were pretty good. Some corny cheers, but the Rangers got the corniness going on, too.
Every team's got the corny cheers.
The fans were pretty good. I like the crowd. They were into it. They're excited about their team. I think they got punched in the gut. Blown a 3-0 lead, but listen, that's going to happen. Now you just want to see
how
the Islanders...
It was like a tale of two
games.
You want
to see how they respond off of that and how they come back on the road to Minnesota.
They go to Minnesota and they come back.
Because Nino's waiting for them.
That's right. El Nino.
So we're going to take a break. We spent a half hour on the Islanders. For the most part, we're going to come back. Maybe we'll touch on the NFL and some other things. We'll see if we can get Corey Hirsch on. If we don't have him, we don't have him. But for you Islander fans, we got Steve Webb in the second hour. So get excited and stand by. We'll be back after this break.
Sports Radio New York and AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
It's
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan. Or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out. Or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Folks, we are back. We are back. We took a break. We cleared up some communication with our fabulous producer, Rob Cowell. And apparently, the jinx is still in effect. Things are getting a little mixed up here at WGBB. And Corey Hirsch lives out on the West Coast, so we might have had a little time mix-up. So he might not be on. If he's not, I will make sure we get him on for a future show. Talk about his 94 Olympic silver medal game against Sweden. His path through being stretched by the Rangers and playing at the pro level, dominating at the minor league level, along with out in the WHL. I mean, I remember one year from looking at his career achievements, he was a WHL Goalie of the Year.
Right. He was.
Canadian Hockey League, which is a culmination of all the major junior leagues. He was the Goalie of the Year in 1992 for all Canadian junior leagues. So we apologize if we can't get him on. We'll have him on a future show. But that means that if you would like, you can call up in this last 25 minutes of the first hour at 631-888-8811. We'll take your call, anything regarding the Islanders or the Rangers, who I've touched on just for a little bit because it's a big Islander night. And the Islanders are playing twice as good as the Rangers. And I'm being outnumbered 2-1 by Islander fans. So we stuck with the Islander chatter for a little bit.
And how about a little, we could maybe toss in a little football if you want to talk a little Jet Giant talk if you want.
Well, you know what, listen, people, call up. If you're out there and you want to talk, you want to yell at me, whatever you want to do. You want to yell at Sweeney for bringing me to the game, call up. Voice your aggravation with him, that's fine. But while we're waiting for a call, or we'll just take ourselves to, why don't we talk about the college football playoff system that was newly instituted and the teams that they came up with for their first yearly event, right? Now they're going to a 14 playoff?
Right.
Did you follow what went on?
Florida State won yesterday.
You guys are going to have to explain this to me because college, I don't understand.
I actually like it because now you're getting the four teams that play each other in like a playoff match. And that's how it's going to work out. I think Florida State is.
Is it really
third?
the best?
But Florida State's undefeated right now.
Right. Florida State being undefeated, they didn't have them number one.
Right.
I'm not at this point because they're going to have a playoff system with four teams. I'm not really going to get hung up on who should be number one.
Do I think Florida State
should be number one because they're undefeated? Yes, because it's so hard to go undefeated.
Yeah. How do they figure that out though? I mean, undefeated teams.
You know, whatever they're taking into account, they're giving style points for the scores of games, how they're handling teams. You know, the ACC is a weak conference compared to the SEC or the Pac-12. So, for whatever it's worth, they put Florida State in at number three. Do I think they should be number one because they're undefeated? Yeah. On top of that, they won the national title last year. Right?
They were undefeated last year.
All right. So, I mean, listen, they haven't lost in a long time. But they put them number three. I'm not going to argue. Everyone loves to yell and complain about something. They were put at number three. Alabama was number one coming into the weekend. They blew out Missouri for the SEC title. They stayed number one.
They blew them.
Oregon was number two coming into the weekend, right? They played the Pac-12 title game against Arizona, who the only team they lost to this year. They blew them out. Marcus Mariota sealed the deal on his Heisman season. They stayed number two. Fine. I told you, Florida State's number three. They had their title game. They struggled at times with Georgia Tech, but they won the game. They stayed undefeated. Very tough to stay undefeated.
Right. Yeah.
College, it's even tougher at the pro level, but listen, it's tough. Only one team.
That Florida State game was actually over, and Georgia came back at the end, but that game was over.
The whole argument's going to come down to who they gave the four spot to. Now, coming into the weekend, they had TCU from the Big 12, right? Baylor was fighting with them for it.
Right.
They were both 10-1 coming into the weekend, and you had Ohio State, right? The Big 12 doesn't have a title game. They played, they finished up their regular season. Baylor and TCU both blew out their opponents. Baylor beat up Kansas State. TCU blew out, like, Iowa State or something like that. And Ohio State, in the Big Ten, which does have a title game, they annihilated Wisconsin. I mean, like 59-0.
Yeah, 59-0.
Wow.
So what happened was they leapfrogged Ohio State over both of those teams and gave Ohio State the four seed. So what's going to happen is Alabama's going to play Ohio State, and they're going to beat them. Florida State's going to play Oregon.
And then the winners of those
More than likely, I'll say that Florida State will win that game because they always find a way to win. Oregon, high-powered offense, but I've seen it every year. As soon as they get tripped up in their offensive game plan, they wind up stumbling and blowing a game. So I'll believe it when I see it from them. So I guess right now I would probably predict Alabama to play Florida State in the title game. The only problem I have with, and listen, Ohio State made it. It's not the worst thing I've ever seen in the world. It's fine. They had a good season. They were 11-1. But this wasn't a two-team consideration for this last playoff spot. You had Baylor and TCU, who play in the Big 12. They played each other head-to-head. Baylor beat TCU. But the score was 61-58. Now, that's more like a college basketball
score. You could say, that's okay?
But they beat them head-to-head. Baylor was the home team. Now, if it was just between Baylor and TCU, and you wanted to give it to Baylor because they beat them head-to-head, I would have no problem with that. But when you're really considering three teams, the reason why I would have given it to TCU is only for this reason. And they were number three last weekend, so they dropped them three spots after a game which they killed somebody, Iowa State, 55-3. But the problem I have with this whole thing is you're comparing Baylor, TCU, and Ohio State. So now Ohio State hasn't played either of those teams.
Okay.
Does Ohio State have a tougher overall schedule? Yeah, because they play in the Big Ten.
Right.
And they
right.
didn't schedule maybe a softer team as the other two might have, which schedules are set years in advance anyway. But the problem here is what I had. And you tell me if you agree. If you disagree, it's fine. I really don't have a problem with Ohio State being in this playoff. But Ohio State lost a game to Virginia Tech. Okay, now when I evaluate the one loss of each team, and listen, two teams in the Big 12, so TCU and Baylor, they played the same schedule, except for a couple of games.
So
Ohio State lost their only game to Virginia Tech.
Well, you're going.
But Virginia Tech lost to six teams. You know, so they lost the game to a team that's a 500 team. When you evaluate college teams and rank them, that's got to have a serious effect on what you're looking at.
I agree.
Okay? So that was my problem with Ohio State trumping TCU. Now, Baylor, now we're looking at three teams, not two.
If it was just two
and you gave it to Baylor over TCU, I would say fine. Hold on. I'm going to give you the floor. Let me finish this. But we're looking at three teams. So now I'm going to look at each team's one loss. Well, TCU lost one game, and they lost to Baylor. All right? 61-58.
That's why they're sixth.
No.
They're the sixth team.
They shouldn't be sixth.
That's what they finished.
Baylor lost one game also. But they lost to West Virginia. And West Virginia lost five games. So now Ohio State to me and Baylor, they lost to teams that were 500 at best, maybe slightly above. And then I got to look at the teams that they lost to. I mean, are you kidding me? TCU only lost to a dominant team, Baylor, which was 11-1. And that's why I feel that there was no need to drop them out of the top four. I got to be honest with you. The only way I would have said I agree with it, because you got to try and be objective with this whole thing. I would have been in agreement if you didn't consider Ohio State and you said, well, we're only looking at these two teams. They both came from the same conference and Baylor beat them head-to-head. Then I would say, fine, you want to give it to Baylor, give it to Baylor. You know, Baylor had a little more of a soft schedule compared to TCU. Not drastically, though. So that was my only maybe little disagreement with it, but everybody has a disagreement. Like, they always had disagreements when they just named two teams to play in the title game. Now they got a four-team playoff, and they'll complain about that till they get to eight. And then when it goes to 16, like the NBA and the NHL, I guess everyone will be happy.
Right.
And
then they'll just then everybody can make the playoffs.
Right. And then
why not?
Then they'll
want
it like the NCAA basketball tournament, where they had to go from, what, you know, 62 to
yeah, whatever.
64, and they had to add a 65th team, a play-in game,
all right,
whatever.
So Alabama's
nobody's
in.
Ever truly happy.
No.
Alabama's in. Florida State's in. Undefeated. 13-0. Alabama's 12-0. Alabama's number one. Alabama's number one. Florida State's 13-0.
Alabama was 11-1. They lost to Ole Miss.
They're 12-1 right now.
Right. They lost one game to Ole Miss. Who lost
Against 12-1.
Yes. They lost to Arizona and avenged it in the title game.
Ohio State's 12-1.
Yes. But look at who they lost to. See, that's why they lost to Baylor. This is where I have a problem with all this.
No, Baylor's
Ohio State lost
to TCU.
They lost to Virginia Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech. Okay.
Okay. In a non-conference game, and Virginia Tech was a 6-6 team. They were not good this year.
Right.
Bottom line. Okay? And what I'm saying is Baylor also lost their one game to a team that's not that good. West Virginia was 7-5 this year. They weren't that good. TCU lost one game. They lost to Baylor.
So
that's
the
Baylor was 11-1.
The last spot of the four would either be Ohio State, Baylor, and TCU fight it out. Who is?
They gave it to Ohio State.
Ohio State's got it right now.
So it's fine. Listen, Ohio State... They put a stamp on their season by burying Wisconsin. They gave it to them. However, they wanted to see fit in evaluating what went on through the complete schedule. Ohio State's in. So be it. Okay. I hope Alabama buries them, which I think they're going to beat them. I don't know if they'll bury them.
So Ohio State's going to play Alabama. Florida State's playing Oregon. Is that what you're telling me?
What's that?
Ohio State's playing Alabama.
Ohio State will play Alabama.
Oregon's playing Florida State.
And then Florida State will play Oregon.
So the Oregon Ducks play Florida. Let's go Oregon.
I will be rooting for Oregon because I like Mariota, and I'd like to see the Jets draft him, just because. Let's hope he's not like Achilles Smith. When he went to the Bengals with the third pick overall that one year, right? All right.
It's tough for someone.
Well, we got a caller on. Let's get to the call. We got Rich Staple, member to the program, all-time caller. Rich from Manhattan's on the hold. Rich, are you there?
I'm here.
You're a big Pac-12 guy. How do you feel about Oregon and their chances?
I'm going to talk about college football today instead of hockey.
That's fine, because that's what we're talking about.
How's it going, Rich?
Now,
Mr. Rich.
Okay, now, first of all, the first thing that we have to remember here is I'd like to see an expanded playoff system. I'd like to see it be like March Madness for basketball. Now, here's what we
can
do.
That's what you said to them.
Because, you see, you've got conferences that are considered Division I, FBS level, right?
Right, like the Mountain West? Yeah, okay.
Right, you've got five power conferences.
Right.
But you've also got five other conferences that are considered on that level legally.
Right.
The Mountain West, the Mid-American, the American Atlantic, which used to be the Big East.
Right.
The Conference USA, and the Sun Belt.
Yep, there's 10 total. Right.
So, like, if you're from those conferences, like Marshall, I think they lost one game, but at one time they were undefeated.
Right, they were.
So if they went undefeated, you know, you could have lawsuits, this and that. You have to allow these teams to be in a system similar to basketball where, like, Iona or Hofstra, if they win their conference,
they get an automatic bid. Rich, you know who Marshall lost to, right?
No, I don't.
They lost to Western Kentucky. You want to know what the score was? Because if I told
you
the score,
63-6.
Yeah, it was 67-66. That's a basketball game.
No, but here's my point.
Right.
If we expand it and you give them the opportunity, like obviously those six conferences, only the conference winner will get in.
So Marshall would make it because they beat Louisiana Tech yesterday. Right.
Right.
So Marshall would make it to the dance.
So what I would do is you take the you rank the 10 conferences.
Right. You're going to have 10 spots for 10 conference champions.
No, hear me out. There's more teams involved.
No, I'm saying those 10 conference champions are going to make it in, though.
Right. If you win your conference championship, you get an automatic bid, like in March, if you win championship week.
Right. I got you.
Basketball. Okay, but first you have what we do, because there clearly is a difference between the quality of the conferences.
Right.
So we take the first six as far as power of the conference, and you give the champion of those conferences a bye into the second round.
Okay.
Then you have the remaining four conferences. So let's say, for argument's sake, the bottom four of the 10 are the MAC, the Big East, the Conference USA, and the Sun Belt.
Right.
They have to play a first-round game, even though they're a conference winner. Then you take, so that's four teams. Then we have another bunch of teams.
So
that
you want to give six teams a bye, right?
Six teams will get a bye.
Right.
Okay, so
and
they
four teams will play. Four teams will play is what you're saying. Okay.
Okay. So this is going to be like a four-round tournament. It'll take up the whole month of December, and you finish up around Martin Luther King weekend.
Yeah, but shouldn't you have eight teams get a bye and then have the other teams, you know, have eight other teams have to play against each other?
No, there's going to be more teams. It's going to be 27. It's going to be 26 total teams.
26.
Is that hard to do with football?
You can do it mathematically.
Well, why not just do 32 then? It'd be easier.
Isn't that too many games for these college kids to play, though?
It might be with school and stuff.
Yeah,
school.
Not nonsense.
Academics gets in the way.
Never. They'll play. They used to play eight games a season. Now we're going to, if you win the title with this new system, you're going to end up playing 6-15.
Right, I got you.
So you're basically, so if you're like Ohio State or Oregon, you don't have to play the first
round. You're getting a bye. So you got six teams on a bye. The other four conference winners have to play that first
round. They have to play.
Okay.
So then we pick 17 at-large teams. So we have, so basically when we get to the second round, you will have 16 games in that round.
Oh, my God.
I think it's too
you want this, like, I was just joking around when I said people would be happy.
No, but I've done the math for the last
years,
and the cutoff is usually 9-3. So they're all going to be good teams.
All right.
So this way you could say, well, the SEC, they got all these great teams, and if they played in other conferences, they would probably win, things like that. So you take your teams, but the whole key to the tournament is that, you know how we have all these bowl games that are now meaningless? Like the Pinstripe Bowl, the Music City Bowl. Well, you use those cities
to make even
those
more money.
Bowls where the bowl becomes a win or go home situation.
Right, so they're going to make even more
money.
This way
the games are sold out, they're meaningful.
They're going to mean something.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the championship game will always be held in Hawaii.
In Hawaii? Well, now we're going to give him a free vacation. For those that might be doubting the mathematics of Rich from Manhattan, let me just assure you that he has a business degree from Stanford University. Okay, listen, I just want to get that out there so they know that you're not crazy, Rich.
Stanford.
Okay, because what you're proposing to me includes an awful lot of teams, which I was joking around about, because I know nobody's going to have a system of four.
But there's such parity that let's say you have like a 9-3 team, let's say Mississippi State.
Rich, I like your concept of how it ties in with the bowl games, because a lot of those bowl games are unattended.
They're meaningless. They really don't mean anything. No one goes to the games except the parents and the girlfriends of the players.
Right.
And the fans, are they going to travel to these games when it's basically, what do you get if you win?
Right.
Like Stanford, they're going to play in what, the Food Market San Francisco Bowl?
Yeah, what's that
new 49ers stadium?
The Kibbles and Bits.
Rich, you know as well as I do, all the college kids will go, and that'll be sold out.
Yeah, they'll travel.
I mean, every one of those bowl games are going to be sold out.
My whole thing is you use the current bowl locations,
right,
and you try to get two teams that are relatively close by, so the fans really don't have to spend a lot of money on travel to get there.
Right, like the NCAA doesn't make it as funny as it is.
Obviously, the bigger bowls, like the Fiesta, the Rose,
right, I got you,
all that stuff.
I actually like your overall concept, the way you're talking about. Let's talk about this.
You like your quarterfinal, your semifinal.
Right. Let's talk about this starting this year alone. Now that we're up to four teams, what was your reaction to the four teams as they were selected?
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Especially with Ohio State, because as much as everyone always said in the past when it was polls, oh, we don't care about style points enough.
Right.
These Nebraska 65-10 wins.
Right. Oh, the old Steve Spurrier way of burying everybody.
That helps get Ohio State in. And the thing with Ohio State is that this is going to be their third quarterback.
I don't find that relevant. What, they won? So you're saying because they beat Wisconsin 59-0 with a third-string quarterback, that makes them even better?
I think
don't have a problem with them making it, Rich. Tell me, I don't know if you were able to hear us before we brought you on. But
I did hear it.
I
think that because they're going to go on to their third quarterback.
Right.
Now, unlike in basketball, where let's say your star player gets injured before March Madness, and if they were a previous number one seed, like when Kenyon Martin
slot in,
broke
you
his
slot
leg.
In wherever you slot in. But were you able to hear what I was talking about before you came on?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you understand where I'm coming from in evaluating those three teams and the losses that they each had?
It's the quality of the loss.
So you do agree with that way of looking at it, objectively.
It was a bad loss early in the year.
That was horrible when you look at it.
A team that turned out not too good, yeah. Virginia Tech.
Yeah, and I don't want to overplay because I don't have a tremendous problem with Ohio State being in the Final Four. I just, if I have to look at all three teams together, losing to a 6-6 team, that's bad. It just is.
Yeah, but at that time, Virginia Tech wasn't that bad. It's also when you play.
It doesn't matter. You got to.
If you're going to use a system with PowerPoints, that affects them when they move along in the season.
I actually like the way they're doing it now.
But they were also starting out. They were going from Braxton Miller to Barrett, and it was basically his first game. You know, he had to break into the lineup and show he could play.
So you like the Final Four.
Now, I'll tell you what. If Florida State would have lost, I do think that they would have given Baylor the Florida State thing, because I think if they had one loss, they could say, well, we don't want Jameis Winston and the whole circuit.
That's what the whole thing's about with Winston. Otherwise, they'd be ranked number one.
Because even though they were undefeated, which is a great feat, and you can't take that away. You can only beat. But all those games were close.
Isn't he undefeated his whole college career?
Yes.
He's incredible.
All right, listen.
I'm not saying
he didn't have a very good year this year. So we know how they did last year.
He won the Heisman. College career.
Rich, do you think Mariota? Do you think you agree with me that he has the Heisman locked up?
I was leaning toward the running back on Wisconsin.
38 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Do you agree that he locked it up or not?
He probably did.
I mean, he's got another 14 rushing. The guy's accounted for over 50 touchdowns and threw only 2 interceptions.
Yeah,
I think we can safely say he's getting the Heisman, right?
I can tell you one thing.
He's
about
a good guy, too, right? I mean, you follow the Pac-12 even more than me. He's a good guy?
Yeah, I think he's okay.
He carries himself well, right? I think he doesn't have any dirty laundry, right? I mean, I haven't heard anything bad about him.
No, but I don't know if he's going to be really good in the NFL.
I don't know either. Where did Achilles Smith go to college?
Oregon.
I rest my case. As long as he's better than Achilles Smith, I'll take him on the Jets.
And Joey Harris.
I know Joey Harris, too, yeah.
But the running back out of Wisconsin.
Winston, you know, Jameis Winston is going to get one vote for the Heisman.
Oh, that's good.
Because he gets the vote as a previous winner.
He's got to vote for himself. That's like the guy in Animal House. You got to let him in. His brother was a.
He's a legacy.
He's a legacy.
All right, so Rich, let me ask you a question though. With the way the standings are right now, Alabama, Florida State, Oregon, and Ohio State. Are you happy with that?
He's happy.
I don't have a problem with it because Oregon, basically, as the Pac-10 winner, gets to play in the Rose Bowl where the Pac-10 winner goes.
That's fine.
And Alabama, as the Southeast Conference, is going to play in the Sugar Bowl as they normally would anyway.
All right, Dennis Popovich. Give us your prediction. I said Alabama versus FSU. What's your prediction?
I'm not sure Florida State's going to beat Oregon.
I'm not telling you to agree with me. I'm asking you for your prediction.
I think Alabama's going to win in the end.
All right, so you have them beating Ohio State. Who do you have winning between Oregon and FSU?
I think Oregon, because FSU's played a lot of tight games in an inferior conference.
Listen, I'm not going to come to your house and rough you up. I just wanted your prediction, so we have it.
I think Oregon will win handily.
Rich from Manhattan saying Oregon over FSU and Alabama all over the Buckeyes.
Rich, before you go, I want to ask you one question.
Hold on, Cronin. Hold on. Sweeney, what is your prediction in this 4-team?
I'm going for Alabama.
Alabama to beat Ohio State. Yeah. So we all agree on that one. And who do you got winning the other game?
I'm going Oregon.
We got 2 for Oregon. And Mr. Panarese, who do you have?
I will have to agree.
So we have 3 guys with Alabama, Oregon, and one. And you're an Alabama fan, too. We got one Ranger guy saying Alabama also, but FSU. You know why I say FSU, Crony? Because Oregon always trips up. Somehow, when somebody just disrupts their offense just enough in a game, they're done.
Alabama's got a
but I do
want to defense.
See Mariota. I want to see Mariota dispel that and win.
Alabama's got a phenomenal defense. They're scoring. They're running up.
They have played well. They played very well defensively.
They're scoring 50 points every game for the last couple weeks. I mean, they all are.
I'm rooting for them. I just think FSU is going to find a way to win.
Alabama's going to win this whole thing.
All right.
But Rich, before you go, real quick, okay? You're a diehard Ranger Islander fan like
He's
we
a diehard
are.
Ranger.
Yeah, okay.
How could you take him to that game?
I don't know.
Oh, I love it. Can we get that music playing before we go to break?
Hey, Rich, what's up with Boychuk? Because I know he's up a body. Is he coming back soon? Do you hear anything? I know you're very involved in a lot of this stuff.
I don't know.
What about Hamannik? You think it's a shoulder injury? What do you think? Shoulder separation? What do you think?
I don't know.
You don't know. So you don't know too much.
Because the Islanders don't disclose anything, and teams
like
don't
baseball.
Have to.
Well, like nobody baseball, does. Football,
If you saw the hit and you listen to my logic, trust me. Travis Hamannik, he's got a shoulder injury, like Ryan McDonough has.
Maybe not as bad because
McDonough has repetitive shoulder issues. I think Hamannik has a shoulder separation. What do you want to know?
Why does hockey not disclose the injuries like football and baseball?
Because everybody wants to be secretive. They don't want their opponents to know what's going on.
There's no gambling.
Yeah. Well, they don't want them to know.
You also
they don't want they don't want anybody to know who's starting.
Right,
games.
They also don't want opposing teams to like, okay, he's got a bad knee. Okay, he's got a bit, you know, so they're
like they used
target.
To target Bobby Orr's knees. Who cares about these guys? Bobby Orr had to put up with it, right, Rich?
Right. No, I agree.
There's no mainstream gambling on hockey.
You're a big Bobby Orr guy. Didn't they target Bobby Orr's knees for years?
I'm sure. Right. In any sport, you try to target a guy if you know something's wrong
you
with
you. You got any parting words on your favorite all-time goalie coming back and sticking it to the Islanders yesterday?
No, but I do have two little phrases to tell you about the Islanders.
Right. Go ahead.
Fifth ring.
What, you're going to get a fifth ring?
And Eisenhower Park.
There you go.
What do you get, Rich? What do you get? One for the thumb?
Kool-Aid, baby.
All right,
that's
baby.
It.
Thanks
you
for
got
calling.
It, Rich.
All right, we're going to go to break pretty soon, right? You want us to keep talking or should we go to break now? We got three more. Let's go with three big NFL. We did enough on college football, right? Should we spend 3 minutes?
I think we did way too much on college football.
Do you think so?
Yeah,
why?
Way too much on
college. That's a big event, this first playoff system.
No, I agree with
you. Oh, you want to spend time on the 2-11 Jets?
What's the other team to talk about?
Oh, what's the Giants' record?
What are they, 4-9?
Yeah, good. No, I want them to draft behind the Jets. I don't want them getting the next Lawrence Taylor like what happened in 1981.
Well, that's what they'll end up
taking.
Let
them be behind us.
They'll always do it.
All right, let's talk about the NFL for a 2-minute drill, which we're probably down to. I probably got the 2-minute warning. We got a 2-minute drill. Oakland beat San Francisco.
Shocker.
Mr. Sweeney, is that not the shock of the day?
Yes, it is.
That's the upset.
Yes, it is.
The biggest upset to me was Carolina beating the Saints in New Orleans.
I'm talking about Oakland and San Fran, and you're switching some other garbage team.
New Orleans cannot win.
Colin Kaepernick throws two picks and does nothing against a lousy Raider team. He's getting picked apart recently in the media.
Oakland,
what are your thoughts on Kaepernick? This guy is not putting up the numbers he should be, right?
If you notice, all these running, scrambling quarterbacks aren't playing as well.
Except Russell Wilson. He's great. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
And I got news for you. A pretty good quarterback in Indiana called Andrew Luck scrambles pretty good, too. He ran for a touchdown today in a key spot. So guys can scramble.
Yeah, I just don't.
Well, I'm going to say, Bellwood, if you're out there, call up 888-8811.
Derek,
talk about the
Derek call.
It was a very impressive comeback today in Cleveland.
Very impressive.
It was impressive.
The Cleveland Browns
got a good defense. They
Cleveland
play very good.
The Browns are a 50-year embarrassment. They stink. The Colts tried to hand them that game.
No, they played good at home.
Andrew Luck fumbled. They threw pick after pick. They tried to give them that game.
Pick after
and
pick.
Cleveland said, no,
you
thank
you.
Take the win.
You don't
and take your division
he did not
title.
Not throw pick after pick.
Yeah, he threw a couple of picks.
He didn't throw pick
spots,
after pick.
No less.
And he also
the
had
Browns
to,
didn't make him pay for it.
And he also
like
played. He also
they didn't pay for the fumble because they hopped on it for a touchdown. But back to what I was talking about with Oakland, Derek Carr, 22 out of 28, 254, and three touchdown passes. Might he be the NFL player of the week?
Could be.
Of taking down the Niners?
Could
they just took down Kansas City 2 weeks ago on Thursday.
This is more impressive.
This is?
Yes. Who'd they take down 2 weeks ago?
Kansas City on Thursday night.
Didn't the Kansas City Chiefs blow a 35-10 lead in the playoffs last year to the Colts? So why would I have to be impressed with them beating the Chiefs?
All right, so the Niners
went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. They got Hall of Fame defenders, albeit that they're out on the injured reserve. They got an excellent coach who I know you want to come to Jetland.
Sure, of course I do.
All right, beating the Niners was a bigger upset. Was there anything else more embarrassing than the Saints getting blown out at home?
No, except for this.
I mean, 41-10?
Yeah.
That game was over after the first half.
41-10.
After the first quarter.
Well, that's your other big news of the day. Was
the Redskins stink. They got shut out by the Rams. Shut them out. And Miami, thank you. Baltimore Ravens
Miami
could beat
Buffalo
Miami.
Both lose.
Good.
I like that.
So do I.
I like that.
Especially Miami.
So New England runs away with a good
game. Miami Dolphin fans out there call
so congratulations to Belichick and Brady and company. Another division
and
title.
Look at Pittsburgh. Ben Roethlisberger comes back, scores 42 on the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati.
We'll be back after this break with Steve Webb, former Islander tough guy, and 60 minutes of NHL hockey talk.
Here we go.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.